Good evening, New Age, Ancient and Modern. If you in your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace of the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly troubled our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Well, that's the word of the Lord, and we thank God for it. New Age, Ancient and Modern. Now, what is Satan's plan? What is the evil one's plan? Because he has a plan, and his plan is for a new world order. Did you know that? That Satan's plan is that there will be a new world order. And that new world order is generational. It spans back a few thousand years. In fact, back to the Tower of Babel. When God, if you recall, he stopped men from building that city and creating a tower, because it was in rebellion against God, and that they could be as God. Pride took over. Now, not that long before, God had, of course, destroyed the world, which we read about in Genesis chapter 6. Just a few chapters later, mankind has started down their road of rebellion again, that same evil path, uniting together against God. Uniting together against God in rebellion. And so, of course, God needed to safeguard humanity by confounding them at Babel. Because God's will is that all men might seek after God. That's his will, that men might seek after him. Right, so bringing it up to the present, today, Satan is trying to break down all of these barriers and unite humanity, unite all of humanity, once again in, if you like, a Luciferian religion, unrestrained wickedness and rebellion against the God of the Bible. That's his plan, that's his strategy for today. But what we do know is, praise be to the Lord, that one day, soon, Christ Jesus will return and he will put down the Antichrist and the evil one and all of his plans once and for all. Hallelujah. Praise be. But we're still in the meantime. The purposes of the occult, the purpose of all of the New Age mumbo-jumbo, confusing writings and teachings with their symbols and mysticism, their bizarre teachings, their weird philosophies, is to blind men from the truth. Is to blind men from the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 teaches this, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Friends, New Age is pure demon worship. New Age is demon worship. It's watered down into different characters like the Maitra and Kumara, but only to deceive people into worshipping demons. It's idolatry. New Age deals in experiences, it deals in feelings instead of absolutes and truth. Right. The term New Age itself may be fairly recent. The occult prophetess who became very New Age, Alice Bailey, who lived in the 19th and 20th century, she's credited by coining the term New Age, but actually if you trace it goes back before her time. But we will be speaking of Alice Bailey a little bit because it is foundational to what I want to share on the impact of New Age in the church and New Age in our schools and indeed New Age in businesses. It has a lot of impact. But it's a recent, the term New Age is, I suppose, been around for 200-300 years. But the actual beliefs and practices go back thousands of years. And I believe the girl that we read about in Acts chapter 16, this slave girl who is mentioned as having a spirit of divination, who brought her master's much profit by fortune-telling, was in effect a New Ager. She was a New Ager. She dabbled in the occult. She dabbled in horoscopes. She dabbled in the unseen spirit world. She dabbled with the spirit of demons, which is what New Age is about. The term itself, New Age, was taken from astrology, making a reference to the Aquarian Age, in which humanity is supposedly going to realize its inner divinity. We will recognize the God within, the divine within, and we will see the God in others. And of course, the appeal of New Age doctrines is that they offer a new way of perceiving reality and religion. And I think this does pose a big challenge to believers, because the New Age is more than a passing fad. It offers spiritual reality, it offers fulfillment, it offers world harmony. Very attractive. Yet its promises spring from a counterfeit. It comes out from a spiritual counterfeit. And of course the Bible, doesn't it? It repeatedly warns us of spiritual counterfeits, to be on our guard. Jesus himself, of course, warns us of counterfeit Christians, counterfeit prophets and teachers in Matthew chapter 24. When Jesus, in answer to their question about the sign of the times and the end of the age, Jesus said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." In 1 John, we read about counterfeit spirits. In 1 John chapter 4, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Counterfeit doctrines. We read in Paul's letter, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, and if we could just deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That's not the scripture which I was reading then. So the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. That means they have been in the faith. They've been known as Christians. They have been followers of Christ. But something has gotten hold of them. They have believed a lie. It didn't appear as a lie. It came very subtly as, well, it was believable. It was believable. But once we give entrance to the demonic, whether it's New Age, whatever it is, then we're in a battle, a real battle. And only by falling on our face in repentance before the Lord Jesus and say, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? And Christ will say, I can. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. Hallelujah. So, since the time that the church was established by Christ and the apostles, Satan has been trying to secretly sneak in false doctrines and teachings to try to destroy the body of Christ, which is the church. And he's been exploiting our selfishness and self-centeredness to drive us away from Jesus and the truth ever since. And in the book of Acts, we find the perfect, wonderful picture of the church functioning as the body of Christ. And they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And friends, if you are in a church or you've got friends who are in a fellowship or church where the leaders say, we don't do doctrine here, run for a mile. Run for a mile. Because they may be right, they may not do Christ and the apostles' doctrine, but they sure do their own, or worse. So, the impact of New Age in the church. The emerging church, and I had totally forgotten to order or get some more copies. So I've only got two. Most of you will have read The Emerging Church, small pamphlet, which was really a production of articles which were written in the Watchman magazine some 4 or 5 years ago. So I deal with the emerging church in detail there. But the emerging church are aping the New Age. And they emphasize more and more personal experiences and feelings rather than the scriptural teaching of the Bible. And when feelings and experiences become criteria for truth, there's nothing left to stand on. And that's why the Apostle Paul was able to say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, it's sad to say, but New Age and occultic beliefs have made serious inroads into the so-called emergent church. And as such, draws all kinds of influences from other religions to enhance communication with God. And they suggest, as you will know, the use of icons to give a sense of God or to bring you closer into the presence of God, which is another thing that we should totally reject. We don't see the church in Acts being full of candles and incense and icons. Rather, it was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Neither were they using holy positions or mantras or the labyrinth walks, which are gaining in popularity, so that they could have a better connection with God. But their hearts were focused on the Bible. Their hearts were focused on Jesus Christ and the leading of the Holy Spirit, as should ours be. In Romans chapter 12 and the opening two verses says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, of course, what we believe is desperately important. And we must not be influenced by seemingly clever and popular and charismatic people who pervert the word of God. So, the emerging church, which there's no denomination called the emerging church, but the emerging church has influenced and impacted many denominations and no denominations of all flavours, including independent churches. And many are not aware where the influences are coming from. But the emerging church has more in common with the New Age, the ancient monastics, and Hinduism than it does with the Word of God and biblical Christianity. Let me quote from Faith Undone, Roger Oakland. This is what he says. The fruit of mysticism is interspirituality. And in that realm where all things are unified and supposedly no separation between man, God, or creation exist, all is welcome except the cross of Jesus Christ. Rejection of the atonement is where interspirituality ultimately leads. Clearly, those who would label themselves New Age deny the atonement. They may not deny Jesus as being a prophet and teacher and being a wonderful person and would have confusing thoughts and views of who Jesus is, but they don't deny that he existed. But what they have in common with many in the emergent church is that they do not believe in the atonement. Some of the leaders in the so-called emergent church are those which are making comments such as the atonement, where Christ gave his life as a ransom for sinners, and where God's wrath was poured out on him so that it would not be poured on us eternally, that Christ became sin for us. They likened it to cosmic child abuse. So no way would God the Father do that to his loving Son. So once you take that view of the atonement and our salvation, you're on a slippery path. And many in the emergent church, the leaders, would agree with those statements. And I've got quotes and quotes where they do so. And it is like the same as the New Age. Let me also say the so-called peace plan. Is riddled with New Age philosophy and teachings. I may share a little bit more on that. But the peace plan, emergent leaders, and New Agers, I've already mentioned Alice Bailey, they have a lot in common. Much of it is mysticism. Much of it is mysticism. And God is in all things. Pantheism. New Agers believe that doctrine and theology are hindrances to prevent people from coming together for one common purposes. Bible doctrine, theology are hindrances that prevent people from coming together for one common purpose. Mysticism, meditation, contemplative praying, etc. That is the common element that can unite religions. In other words, mysticism is the bridge to unity. Not that long ago, the promotional material for a large Christian conference that was held in the United States, where the speakers comprised significant movers and shakers within the emerging church, people like Brian McLaren, Sweet, etc. The promotional material asked the question, imagine a world, a new vision for God's kingdom on earth. Imagine a world, a new vision for God's kingdom on earth. So what does that mean? Well, the workshops and the PowerPoint presentation makes it clear that the kingdom of God is here now. And this is what Brian McLaren says. If we have a new world, and he's an evangelical Christian, if we have a new world, we will need a new church. We won't need a new religion per se, but a new framework for our theology. Not a new spirit, but a new spirituality. A new spirituality. So, to me it's clear that instead of focusing on eternal realities, on how they impact our lives, how we're to live separate from the world, how we're to be faithful ambassadors for Jesus, we are to believe that the kingdom of God is already here. And once the world comes together in unity and in peace, in unity, peace and harmony, then the kingdom will be realized fully. Now, of course, while the thought of having a world without hunger, without war, and without disease is a wonderful idea, it is not what the Bible says is going to happen before the return of Jesus Christ. And hallelujah, when he returns and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the perfect reign of our Lord Jesus, a reign which will know no end. When the government will be upon his shoulders, then we will know peace. Then we will know harmony. Then the lion will lay down with the lamb. Oh, hallelujah. But not until then. Then his kingdom will indeed come. So our focus as Christians should not be to eliminate global problems, but rather our focus should be to live godly lives and bring the gospel of repentance and salvation to our communities and the nations of the world. So, and of course, help and look for the poor. Of course, that is part of our mandate. To care for those who are disadvantaged, the downtrodden, etc. But why is it wrong to try and bring the kingdom of God to earth in the manner that the emergent church and the contemplatives suggest? Because I will tell you, these efforts will culminate in bringing about a world ruler that the Bible calls the Antichrist. And such efforts will not cause people to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, but will actually deceive them into worshipping a false Christ. And New Agers who follow the writings and teachings of people such as Alice Bailey, there's many of them, they're all confused. But New Agers who follow the teachings of Alice Bailey are also working to establish a kingdom of God on earth as well. They are seeking to establish a kingdom of God on earth. And those who adhere to New Ageism believe that this utopia will come about by a critical mass of humanity meditating together, which will then help the rest of the world realize their oneness with each other and that God dwells within every part of creation, including every human being. Some are similarities, because the same spirit that influences New Age and those who are open about it is influencing those in much of the church, unfortunately. The devil doesn't mind who he uses to keep people blind. He doesn't mind. I made a quote here. The Britannica states this about New Age. New Age movement united a body of diverse believers with two simple ideas. First, it predicted that a new age of heightened spiritual consciousness and international peace would arrive and bring an end to racism, poverty, sickness, hunger, and war. This social transformation would result from the massive spiritual awakening of the general population during the next generation. Second, individuals could obtain a foretaste of the new age through their own spiritual transformation. Initial changes would put the believer on the Sahana, which is a new path of continual growth and transformation, enlightenment. Again, as Roger Oakland says in his book, well, he's written many books, but in Faith Alone, though world religions may share some moral precepts, such as don't lie, don't steal, etc., the core essence of Christianity, which is redemption, is radically different from all of them. Interspirituality may sound noble on the surface, but in actuality, the emerging church leaders are facilitating occultist Alice Bailey's rejuvenation of the churches. Because in her rejuvenation, everyone remains diverse, that is, they stay in their own religion, yet united in perspective, with no one religion claiming a unique corner on the truth. In other words, all religions lead to the same destination and emanate from the same source. Now, of course, Alice Bailey herself believed that a coming one who was coming, whom she called Christ, would appear on the scene in order to lead humanity into an era of global peace. But let me tell you, if such a scenario were to take place as Alice Bailey predicted, there would be no room for those who cling to biblical truth. There'd be no room. There's no room. You're fundamentalists. You're expendable. Did Alice Bailey believe in a coming Christ? Oh yes, but not the Christ of the Bible. I'm just going to quote something else from Alice Bailey. These are her own words. And she was referring to her prophesied coming one, whom she calls the Christ. And she says this, the reason he has not come again is that the needed work has not been done by his followers in all countries. His coming is largely dependent upon the establishing of right human relations. The church has hindered and has not helped because of its fanatical zeal to make Christians of all peoples and not followers of Christ. It has emphasized theological doctrine and not love. I've read a lot of the emergent church writer stuff, a lot of it. It's almost word for word what Alice Baker says. The togetherness mindset that is promoted by well-known Christian authors and preachers to eradicate global problems facing the earth is the same message that Alice Bailey referred to as right human relations. Personnel, individual relationships with Christ are considered self-centeredness because they don't focus on the global common good. And communal spirituality is seen as the only path to the world's survival. Alice Bailey's vision of a unified society, including a global spirit of religion, differs from traditional religious form and includes the concept of the age of Aquarius. Now friends, New Agers know, the devil knows, that Christians, that believers will not accept a frontal assault of occultic doctrines and themes. If it's so blazon, if it's so direct, if it's so obvious, most Christians, if they know a little bit about the Word of God, would ditch it. They would have nothing to do with it. So they have changed occultic words into Christian terms. You read some of the New Age people and they will use words such as faith. They will talk about God. They will talk about Christ. They will even refer to born again. And so many churches are buying it hook, line and sink. Because Satan knows how to mix just enough truth with falsehood to make the falsehood seem true and immensely appealing. And he already has millions falling into the trap of destruction. Listen to what Alice Bailey said. She said, I would point out that when I use the phrase followers of the Christ, I refer to all those who love their fellow men irrespective of creed or religion. And that is why people like Rick Warren can say, I believe that there will be others besides Christians who will be in heaven. That is why he can say, to get my peace plan working and operative so that we can create harmony and eradication of poverty and disease, I'm prepared to work with Muslims. It's following an agenda which is it's as old as the hills. It is to keep people blinded from the truth. That Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only is the way to God. But all who believe in Jesus Christ and turn from their sins will be saved. The devil doesn't want that. But oh, if we can create an environment where climate change is eradicated and all these, well, and if we can live with one another and meditate, all lay on our backs and put our feet up in the air and, well, then harmony and God will be pleased because we will have reached the Godhead within and the Godhead in you. Utopia. But it's falsehood. Alice Bailey actually does believe the Christian church will help bring about the New Age. She says, the goal of the New Age movement has consistently been to bring in the Age of Aquarius, when all will recognize the God within themselves. And in the words of New Age prophetess Alice Bailey, a major step towards this is the regeneration of the churches. Her vision was that the Christian church in its many branches can serve as a St. John the Baptist, as a voice crying in the wilderness, and as a nucleus through which word illumination may be accomplished. In a word, she desired the time when the Christian churches would embrace the New Age concepts of illumination and self-realization. The New Age plan to bring in world peace cannot fully establish the golden age of Aquarius until biblical Christianity is outlawed or destroyed. What comforts me, and I guess comforts you, is the Lord Jesus says he's going to build his church. The Ghost of Ages are not going to win against it. The Lord said, I'm going to have a remnant. It may be difficult for me to find the faith on earth, but there's going to be a people who love me and truth, who are in relationship with me and love this truth more than they do their own lives. He says, I'm going to keep them. No harm will come upon them. Hallelujah. In the second session, we will speak a little bit more about the effect of New Age in our schools. And how we can prepare ourselves to withstand this onslaught of dangerous teaching. Don't forget to sign up for the day conference.